verse 8, Romans 10, it says, but what does it, the righteousness of faith, say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the word sozo. We'll look at the definition in a moment. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We'll look at that word also. Skip down to verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is part 4 in the series called The Whole Package. Specifically, we're talking about sozo and soteria. Those are package words. Anytime those words are used, you're using all of its definition, not just an aspect or a component of it, but you're using all of its definition. The word saved there, as we said, is sozo. It means to deliver, protect, heal, preserve, be whole or make whole. It literally means wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. And it's interesting that the Lord is giving this on the back end of us talking about holiness. Remember, we talked about holiness, his holiness, and all of that. And so we are whole. Amen. If you're born again, as far as God is concerned, you're whole. You are completely whole. And some people might say, well, I'm waiting on the manifestation of my healing. That is the same as saying, I'm waiting on my body to tell me when I'm healed. The word of God says that by his stripes you were healed. Do you realize everything up until the scourging of Jesus was credit? It was on credit. People got healed. He sent his word and healed us, right? There was healing in the law, but it was on credit. Somebody is going to have to pay for it. Right? The bill came due, and Jesus not only paid, he overpaid. And it's payment in full. For all healing. You're already healed. Did I say you were symptom free? No. But God has already healed you. You possess your healing. If you are born again, you possess your healing. And you have to, by faith, release it into your body. You have authority. Wow, we're way off the notes. I need your faith today. This is good, because I don't know what I'm going to say. I just got a lot going on in here, and I know where we're going. And this has kind of been the context of what we've been talking about, because righteousness is absolute. We said if we line 25 people up here to receive Jesus, they pray the sinner's prayer, how many of the 25 get born again? 100% of them, right? All 25 of them. So why do we shift in our thinking into some sort of religious qualifications when we talk about healing? It's the same. In fact, it's the same sacrifice. And we showed you 3 examples where healing is tied to righteousness. So we shouldn't shift in our thinking. The word soteria means virtually the same thing: rescue, safety, deliver, health, save, or saving. I want you to go over to Hebrews chapter 12. While you're turning there, let me just review a couple of things. In Hebrews 11:3, we saw that words frame worlds. Words frame worlds. If you don't like how your world is framed, you need to get some different framing material. That is very good. You're using inferior products. We'll go to Lowe's once in a while when we get into building projects, and we may have a monumental one here coming up pretty soon. They'll sometimes ship you some curved boards and stuff. That's not fun. We don't want warped boards in our framing project, right? So use your words correctly. Amen? Then we saw over in Hebrews 1 that everything is upheld by the word of his power. And the revelation is that even today, everything is submitted to the word of God. That's what keeps the atoms from just flying apart, right? It's the word of God. It's all upheld by the word of his power. It's his power, but it's his word that's doing it. It's all held together by his word. So we operate with that authority. You have the authority to use his word on your behalf. And on others' behalf. Amen? Then we saw over in Proverbs chapter 4 that we need to guard our hearts. This is a reason why people come up short. They don't guard their hearts. They let all kind of junk in. See, and they're saying all kinds of stuff, and then they're wondering, well, why isn't it manifesting for me? Well, again, you're foddering your world with a bunch of other stuff that's unuseful. See, we need to guard our heart because out of it spring the issues of life. And in verse 24, Proverbs 4, he said, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Now, when we think of deceitful and perverse, we're thinking, you wretched, evil words. But I'm telling you, it's when we twist things, when we exaggerate, when we don't tell the truth. That's corrupt speech. We talked about this a couple weeks back, and it's interesting. Every time we share this, it seems like you can't talk for about a week. And again, the study said that the average Christian, George Barna Group, said the average Christian tells over 200 lies a day. And the study is based on any exaggeration of the truth. And you think, well, we know what you mean. But why do we have to embellish on our stories? Why do we have to say, that was so funny, I laughed so hard, I thought I would... Yeah, see? That's contrary to the word, isn't it? A merry heart does good like a medicine. So what I should be saying is, I laughed so hard, I could feel endorphins being released in my body. I just knew I was going to live a long time. You don't have to exaggerate. Just say that. People will notice. You want to make your point. That was something that was funny, right? All right, we're there in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're talking about guarding our hearts. Look at verse 14, and the question is, what do we guard our hearts from? Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Do you know it's possible to come up short? Oh, I'm going to say it again. It's possible to come up short. It's not God's fault, but what if we refuse to get it right with somebody? What if we refuse to pursue peace with somebody? I don't care. You don't know what they did to me. And you hold a grudge. You're going to come up short. Not that person, you. You're going to come up short of the grace of God. Then it says, lest any root of bitterness. That's a formula for destruction. Remember, we're guarding our hearts, springing up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. The word bitterness, it means literally acridity. Acridity. It's something that's so pungent that you can't be around it. It stinks so bad. It's an inward attitude that is so bitter it produces a scowl on one's face. In other words, you become so inwardly infected with bitterness that you are outwardly affected in your appearance and disposition. The fruit it produces is unkind, sour, sharp, sarcastic, scornful, cynical, mocking, contemptuous, and wounding. Bitterness has nothing good to say about the other person. In fact, it looks for negative things to say about that person in order to affect others' opinions about him as well. Misery loves company, right? And you have to avoid that. How do you do that? What is the remedy? Pursue peace. Pursue peace. We're going to talk about it today. I'm, again, way ahead of myself. We got to let it go. You got to let it go. That's something that Pastor April talks to Julie and I about quite a bit. You got to let it go. It's not worth it. Now, go over to Philippians chapter 2. We're still kind of in the review, but we're giving it context because we're going to keep going where we left off. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 14. It says, do all things. How many things? How many? Without complaining and disputing. When we first got into this building, that was what the Lord started talking to us about. And we saw some medical statistics of what happens when we complain. And I think it was 2 weeks ago we watched a video, and we're going to watch it again right now, as a matter of fact. So go ahead.
How complaining affects the brain and general health. While we may think it feels good to vent, complaining has some bad effects associated with it. Many of us have fallen into the habit of making complaints about everything, from bad hair days to troubling relationships. Even when life is going well, we often overlook the positives and fuss about one thorn among the roses. Why isn't complaining beneficial? Research shows that it rewires our brain for negativity. The brain is designed to work efficiently, meaning that when we repeat a thought, negative or positive, the nerve cells form a bridge between each other to expedite the passage of information. Consequently, the next time we have a similar thought, it is more easily transmitted. This mechanism explains why certain thought patterns quickly become ingrained habits. Yet the detrimental effects don't stop there. A study from Stanford University shows that complaining causes the hippocampus, which plays a vital role in problem solving and other cognitive functions, to shrink. In addition to causing brain damage, complaining also releases a stress hormone, cortisol, the fight or flight chemical the body produces when we encounter some danger, a response that is essential for survival. However, constantly having a high level of cortisol results in high blood pressure, high blood sugar, and impaired immunity, effects that may eventually cause obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. The ill effects of our complaining aren't just limited to ourselves, though. They also involve those around us. People tend to mirror the moods of those around them, so we should be cautious about constantly complaining when we're around our friends. The best way to deal with constant negativity is to develop a sense of gratitude. Just like complaining acts as a poison, gratitude acts as a medicine. Research shows that having gratitude lowers cortisol levels by 23%, as well as reduces blood pressure and cholesterol. It also decreases fatigue and depression. Gratitude is the perfect antidote for complaining, a behavior that steals our brain power, happiness, and physical well-being.
Wow. So complaining's not a good thing, but I love that this video shows you what to do, you know, not what not to do. I mean, we need to avoid complaining because of the detriment. I mean, that's why there's all these prescriptions being written, right? And people still talk like the world talks, exaggerating, it's all whatever. You see what the politicians are doing now. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Be grateful. I said be grateful. You know what I'm trying to do? The last, right when you're crossing over from awake to where you're asleep, I'm in those moments trying to stock up on gratitude. And then the first moments when I wake up, as I'm coming to, gratitude. Start listing things that you're thankful for. Go to that place, because that sort of programs your subconscious while you're sleeping to stay in a healthy, good mood, reducing your cortisol by 20%. That's pretty good. That's awesome. Now go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. So that kind of gives you the context. These are things that hinder us from seeing our whole package manifest in our lives. Now, as far as God is concerned, it's yours. It's in full stock. It's in full measure. You can have as much as you want, whenever you want. It's not something he's withholding from us. A lot of times people are trying to talk God into giving them what he's already given them. He's already given it to you, but they're trying to say, oh, Lord, please heal me. Please heal me. Please heal. That's the same as saying you haven't done it yet. That's not good. That's not good. What do? Father, I thank you. You have healed me. Body, listen to me. I'm talking to you. You're healed. Symptom, you do not have the right to be in my body. I evict you now in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. You must go. Have you ever woke up and didn't feel saved? Tell the truth. Thank you, Gail. There's some times I've woke up and I felt mighty carnal. Are you with me? All of us have. But my salvation isn't based on how I feel. It's still true. I'm still the righteousness of him. And it's the same with healed. I'm still healed whether I feel like it or not. Whether I have symptoms or not, I'm still the healed. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed resisting sickness. 1 Peter 5, look at verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Amen. Glory to God. Submit. That's a popular word, right? Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I don't want to come up short. Do you? Okay, I don't want to come up short. And I definitely don't want God in opposition to me. How many of you don't want a headwind from God? This right here is a big key. And it's interesting that you'll find submission somewhere close to grace being released and humility. Humility releases the grace. Look at this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I had never made this connection before. The connection between casting our cares on the Lord and humility. I would submit to you that casting your cares on the Lord is the action of humility. I would just read it by itself. Cast your cares on the Lord. Cast your care. But that's the act of humility, which releases grace. This is basically surrendering and saying, God, I can't do this without you. I must have your help. In fact, what do you want me to do? I'm on a journey. I want you to know we've got to get to a place where we don't care. Boy, that sounds contrary to Christianity, does it not? Because we're supposed to be moved with compassion and have mercy and be compelled, all those things. There's a balance to what I'm saying. We can care, but we're not supposed to carry the care. And it's real easy to say, cast your care on the Lord. But you know what? You got to get to a place where if it all falls apart, so what? What's the worst thing? I die. I'm with him. You can't intimidate a person like that, right? Didn't Paul say, I'm in between a choice here. It's needful for you if I stay, but it'd be cool if I left. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. What shall I choose? They tried to intimidate Paul a lot. You're not afraid of the outcome. Are you with me? If your cares are on him, then you're not under the stress of it. My New Year's resolution for 3 years has been to be a better listener. And it doesn't seem to be changing a lot. I make myself be quiet until they're done talking, but on the inside, I'm ready to talk. And when you hear what I got to say, you're going to be impressed. I've got this figured out. You don't even need to finish your sentence. I'm just being real. I'm telling you, there's a lot going on in my head. And so being carefree, being at peace, isn't the absence of issues and challenges. We should be at peace when we're walking through the middle of them. I brought this up. It was my privilege a couple of Thursdays ago to lead the pastors in this very discussion. It was interesting. 13 pastors around the table, 11 of them on high blood pressure medicine. No, and you should have heard Christian Hedegaard, which I'm not supposed to tell you what he said, but anyway, he was outraged. This is good, but this is not good. There's a problem, guys. And what is it? We're carrying the cares. And so his retort to me was, do you have a hobby? I thought, yeah, I play guitar. I go away many times. Put the earbuds in, bye-bye. There's nobody but me. And I'm having a concert and people are walking around. I don't even know. But that's not helping you get rid of stress. It's the peace we're supposed to have while we're dealing with the challenges. We need to be able to walk through a crowd of people that are yelling obscenities to us or spitting on us and have perfect peace. I'm not getting peace because of what's happening out here. Sometimes we're like, well, if we could just get here, I'll have peace. That's not peace. That's external. Are you with me? And I'm talking about what goes on in my head. It's busy up there. Anybody relate? So casting our cares on the Lord, that is so easy to say. Isn't it? Isn't it? But it's the right answer. I want you to go over to Proverbs 14. I'm going to show you something amazing. Are you ready? We got to get these cares off of us. And I would submit to you that relationships are a big part of this. It's a very big part of this. It's hard to rest when you know there's a schism. Praise God for Romans 12, is it? As much as depends on you. Live peaceably with all. Well, once you've done all you know to do, and then you've done your part. Then you can rest. Amen. Proverbs 14:30, it says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about healing, right? A sound mind is life to the body, but envy or jealousy is rottenness to the bones. Man, that'll cause problems. The word sound, are you ready? We're going to go deep into the Hebrew here. Is that okay if we do that? The word sound is the word marpe. Marpe. And it means curative, a medicine, a cure, healing, remedy, wholesome. Wholesome. The way the Hebrew reads it, it's right to left. So if you take away the first character, go to the next one, you have the root of that word, which is Rapha. See it? It's from 7495. Rapha. How many of you know that word? Jehovah Rapha. The Lord that heals, okay? And it means to mend, to cure, heal. It's a physician to thoroughly make whole. That's God's name. Thoroughly make whole. Now, if you trace the root of that word, it's the word Rapha. Rapha. And guess what Rapha means? Relax. Let go. Relax. I know how to sit down and do nothing. But it's rare that I'm really relaxing. And we're called to rest. Rest is not inactivity. Rest is the tranquility on the inside, regardless of what's going on outside. Many of us are basing our peace on external circumstances, and we're praying accordingly. Change this, change this, change this. Why? Because I'm upset. I want this change. I want this change. I want this to work this way. I want this. I need, Father, we need a breakthrough here. And it's all external. And the truth is, we need to be able to have peace on the inside, regardless of what's happening out here. The devil acts like a jerk. What a shock. Do you know what the devil did? Why are you surprised? He's consistent. He is very consistent. I would say he's more consistent than a lot of Christians are consistent in his endeavor. And he's an expert at making a mess, twisting stuff, getting people offended and upset. He's an expert at it. He's an expert at it. So listen to a couple of other translations. The Living Bible, not the New Living Translation, but the Living Bible says a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Jealousy rots it away. If we start getting envious of what someone else has, you are shortening your lifespan. You're opening the door to the devil. You're basically leaving the whole package. We're to relax. And I'm talking to me. You're getting what I get. And I hope I don't come across like some kind of expert, because I'm in the what feels like the early throes of this. I see that it's a key. You have to get to a place where you don't care. Now, I grew up in a family that if your mom's having surgery and you're not pacing the floor ring in your hands, you're a sorry dog. But you know what? Worry is fear. And Jesus told us not to do it. Did he not? So if he tells us not to fear, not to worry, be anxious for nothing, right? If he tells us that, then why is it okay on occasion? Depends on the circumstances. It's not okay. It's not okay. This life is but a vapor. It's like a morning fog. You know, I take off and I'm driving to school in the morning to go to work. I mean, there might be fog everywhere, but by 9 o'clock, it's all gone. It's over. It's gone. Bye-bye. No more fog. See, and that's what this life is compared to. And eternity is in you. And we're supposed to have the peace of Jesus in us. He wants us to relax. The Amplified says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. See, I'm seeing that my blood pressure issues are a result of my thinking. And it's time to deal with it. It's time to take. I can't just keep doing the same things and expect different results. I've started to take it by force. The kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. Okay, that seems like a contradiction to relax. No, I'm getting aggressive about this thing. I'm taking the word of God and I'm applying it to my body. And there's been a couple of days that based on the dose of the blood pressure medicine, all of a sudden I'm like lethargic and need a nap. I take my blood pressure. It's like 100 over 60. It's like, okay, my faith is working because the pills are taking me too low. And that's what I want. I want to get to where I don't need the pills. That's a good thing. Praise God. And that's how it's going to go. I'm going to wean myself because of my faith. My faith. And I'm not going to go by how I feel. See, I can't sit there and say, well, if my kids would just behave. And you know they don't. Right? They're kids. They're kids. They're in training. Training means we're in it for the long haul. We're going to do this until you get it. You know? I can't exchange you. And I wouldn't. I have no desire to do that. That's a joke, obviously. But you understand, that's external. Again, I can't have external circumstances aligned so that I can have peace. I'm supposed to have peace anyway. In fact, we're going to go to John chapter 14. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't need this, but I sure am glad you're here. John 14, look at verse 1. Now, you know what's going on right here in John 14, right? This is one of the last conversations that Jesus has with his disciples before he's crucified. And he's telling them a lot of stuff. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible, John 14, 15, and 16, and 17, where he's actually praying. But anyway, here we go. Look at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Did you hear it? So if my heart is troubled, whose responsibility is it? I'm getting a revelation on a word. Can I go ahead and give it to you? Responsibility. It's about whose responsibility is it? Who is supposed to respond? Who has the ability to respond to this? Okay? Well, in this particular thing, it's my responsibility. I have the ability to respond correctly. And how do I do it? Based on what Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If it's afraid, if I'm upset, whose responsibility is it? It's mine. I can't go, but God, you see how this is going? These people, they did me wrong. Did that work for Adam? The woman you gave me. You set me up, God. Did it work? No. We have the responsibility. Skip down to verse 27. Look at this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's repeating himself. Why can we not be afraid? Because he's leaving us his peace. Remember, this is the same peace that allowed him to sleep in a boat that had the professionals scared. They thought they were dying. And it says the boat's filling up with water. He's in the stern asleep. If it's collecting, it's in the stern. And he's laying on a pillow. Jesus is laying on water and he's sleeping. That's peace. And that's the peace he leaves us. It's not the world's peace. The world has peace. Peace, you know. Richard Nixon, peace, right? Okay, that's not peace. That's the absence of conflict. Again, that's external. That's pseudo peace. That's not peace. Peace is on the inside no matter what's happening. Oh, I want that. Now, go over to John 16. Look at verse 33, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified because it's really good. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. He says, I'm going to be with my Father. The place I'm going, you know. And they said, we don't know where you're going, right? And he's telling them, I'm going to my Father. He said, if you love me, you'd be happy for me. I'm paraphrasing, right? You would be excited about this. You wouldn't be freaking out. You'd be excited. If we're stressed out, and this is something I've had to come to terms with. If I'm fretting over a thing, I love myself too much. Let me say it this way. More than I love Jesus. That's the reality. Which is pride. God resists that. He can't endorse that. He can't bless that. He can't help you be successful in that. We have to love Jesus more. If we love Jesus more, that's how we can let our hearts not be troubled. This is good. I'm getting this for me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you will have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. What an amazing promise that is. He's telling them, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But think about the context of this statement. Like in a half an hour, it's going to get bad. See, we're looking at it like in the world, in their situation, their guy is going to be martyred here very soon. And he's telling them it's going to happen. And he's like, I'm going to my Father. If you love me, you'd be happy about that. Now, I want to skip back to something. Go back to verse 1 of John 16. I have told you all these things so that you should not be offended. Interesting. There's the trap. The enemy wants you offended, taken unaware and falter, or be caused to stumble and fall away. Offense will cause you to stumble and fall away. I told you to keep you from being scandalized and repelled. Selah. That's big. He's trying to help the disciples in a situation that's going to be very challenging, but he's saying, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. When something's happening in your life, be of good cheer. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Don't let it get you down. Relax. Cast it over onto him. receive his peace. That's how healing is going to run through your body. It causes life in your body. To get upset, to fret, is harmful. Amen? In closing, I want you to go over to Psalm 37. I don't know about you, but I needed this today. Amen. Psalm 37, we'll start reading in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. His faithfulness. Julie didn't know. She had no idea what my notes said. She had no idea. And there we were singing about His faithfulness. Singing about His faithfulness. Feeding on His faithfulness. It's the word of the Lord today. He is faithful. 2 Timothy says He cannot deny Himself. He is faithful. Even when we're faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot act another way. He is consistent. It will not change. God is not fickle. He's not moody. He's not up and down. He is solid. He is faithful. And you can count on Him. And you feed on that. And what does that do? That makes you steady. That makes you consistent. That makes you constant. The teacher's preaching today. Skip down to verse 7. Rest in the Lord. That's the result, right? Feeding on His faithfulness. Trusting Him. And wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. No fretting. Fret not thyself. Did you hear it? Listen to what the word fret means. It means to glow, grow warm, to blaze up. Of anger. Look at this. Jealousy. What is the jealousy? It rots your bones. Psalm 14:30, right? It is unhealthy for you. It's not good. When do we struggle with these things? For me, it's when there's an injustice. This is wrong. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to take matters into my own hands. And we're supposed to trust God. But sometimes, God, you're slow. Let me handle this. We will fix this. And you know what? He knows that I'll make a mess. You know what we did in school? I showed clips of Bruce Almighty. Who's ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty? I recommend it. It's a wonderful piece of art. In the beginning, God, Morgan Freeman, gives him all his powers. He says, you think you can do better? Do it. And the one thing he said, you can't affect free will. Now the list goes, as to what you can do when you change free will. So we showed about 20 minutes to the students, and I asked them, okay, give me 5 things that you would do if you had all of God's power right now. And they said some good things. One of them was like, I would end all the violence in the world. You can't without affecting free will. You know, that's noble. I know what you want to do, but you can't because of free will. You can't mess with that. And so then we showed them the back of the movie. The back of the movie is that Bruce had used God's power for himself to get his job back and do some things, you know, to right a couple of wrongs in his words. And all of a sudden the streets are burning. There's riots. I mean, it's chaos. He made a huge mess. And the point was, when we use God's power for selfish reasons, we make a mess. The other question, when they got to the end, he came to himself. And he starts to pray for his girlfriend. And he says, I want to see her happy. I want to see her like you see her right now through your eyes. It was powerful. Powerful. I don't think they meant for it to be as powerful. But they got it right in a lot of ways. They really did. They really got it right in a lot of ways. And I said, what are 3 things God would want you to use His power for? And then Morgan Freeman, as God, says to Jim Carrey, people want me to do everything for them, and they don't realize they already have the power. Because some of the kids said, I'd give his power back. You can't do that. You still have the right to choose. The fact that you can choose means you have the power of God to work, that you can choose to use it. And if you use it to serve people and to bless people, good things happen. If you use it for selfish reasons, it creates chaos. Praise God. How do we get on that? Anyway, don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. It only causes harm. It only causes harm. Father, we have heard your word today. We receive that word, not just as teaching, but we're receiving it as a word from your spirit to us to not enter into stress, pressure, fretting, all of those things, but to learn to relax, to walk away from all complaining, to not rehearse the injustices, to not take matters into our own hands, but to be thankful and to rest in your provision. And so we thank you, Father. We are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.